Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Dirt.
It's not my fault nobody can understand what you're saying.
Sprague.
Well, that was rather fortunate. I think it rather whacked that pretty young wench in the little light-colored dress there.
This is a British Open Week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Presented by the Winco Foods Portland Open, August 5th through the 11th. 100% of ticket sales go to local charities. Order now at WincoFoodsPortlandOpen.com.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, let's do this final hour, Dirt and Sprague, on a Monday afternoon. Thanks for being with us on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Have we avoided a traffic doomsday so far today like we had on Friday?
Good God.
How long did it take you to get home?
When did we leave here? 3:15?
No, we stayed and had a beer, so we left later than that.
3:30?
I'd say 3:45.
It wasn't. Oh, was that?
It was probably about 3:45.
Well, I had to go to Beaverton and pick my kids up and then drive back to Oregon City. I knew I was in for a haul. I didn't get to my destination in Oregon City till 6:45.
Oh, God.
It was 3 hours in a car.
Yeah, we had, who was, you said Morgan left and she just turned around and came back?
Yeah, I was doing the primetime best of.
Yeah.
And I get done at 7 o'clock, you know, I start to walk out the building and I see a basketball hitting the wall. Like someone's just trying to kill time. I mosey on over there. She said she was on NATO for 2 hours.
What?
And turned around and she looked like she was slowly losing her mind. Just, yeah, repeatedly throwing the basketball against the wall.
Well, you guys told me the reason for it, but the highways I took, I found out there was a major accident.
There was, I believe, a turnover,
racing,
a
yeah.
semi fell over, and then the I-84 incident. So
but I didn't know about like the 84 thing.
It was like a mental health kind of thing. I think it was similar to the guy on the crane, and they had to shut down 84. You do something like that on a Friday. Ooh.
Yeah, that's just the worst.
Yeah, that was because my
fiance. It was
fiance,
like Snowmageddon all over again.
Right, we were hanging out, and she called me a couple times, and I kept thinking, like, I'm wondering, like, am I in trouble? What did I do here? Like, what's going on? And then she had called me to say, like, hey, I've been stuck in traffic for an hour and a half. Like, everything is closed down. So if you're going anywhere, don't go the direction of mass peoples. But thankfully, my traffic route wasn't too bad. But I can't imagine, man. You get stuck in, like, I-5 and, like, something like that on a 5 o'clock on a Friday? Oh,
well,
God.
Well, 7 o'clock, I was taking I-5 south. And I-5 North was backed up to the Terwilliger curves. Like, it was getting slowing down. I was like, well, have fun with that.
You want some good news?
Sure. What do we got?
It's red and orange right now.
Wow. It's 205, people.
26 coming into downtown sucks. Going into 26 from downtown sucks.
Hey, I see a lot of green on that map, though.
We need the chopper sound right now. We got Sprague and the chopper.
Zoom in, Joe, because if you look, I-5... Yeah, I-5 sucks the whole way through. 84. Do you guys find these traffic reports helpful, by the way?
Yes.
My name is Bam.
Because every once in a while you do.
Hot garbage.
You do catch them every now and then. You're like, oh, I was going that way. But they're not consistent. You know, one report says over here. One says over there.
Well, I hate when they say your stuff wrong.
Willametta.
Yeah, they mispronounce the words sometimes.
Willametta.
Yeah.
McLaughlin. Hillsborough.
That gives it away a little bit, doesn't it?
Is it Borat doing the race?
Well, I think these people that do these traffic reports...
Definitely not local.
No, they're in Phoenix, I think, locked in a room, and they're like, hey, Bob, give traffic reports for these 10 cities today. Are they helpful? I don't know. I don't feel like he touches on all the highways, so I'm like on 205, and he's like, 84 looks good. I-5's great.
That's what I'm saying is you'll catch it one every 2 hours. Like, oh, that's relevant. That works for me this time.
So that happened on Friday. So hopefully everybody survived it. I do have a couple of fun stories for you. Now, have you guys ever tried fasting? Have you ever done this before?
No.
I did a day fast after, like, I was training last year, and I just had a day where I fell off.
Yeah.
I fell off the wagon. I was eating bonbons all day. I had fatty breakfast, fatty lunch, fatty dessert. Not a good day. I felt like crap. And the next day, I didn't eat anything.
I'm just not touching anything.
I drank.
You did it on purpose, not like I feel like crap, so I'm not eating. You were like just mentally, you went into it saying, I'm not going to touch food.
Yeah. Because I'm dangerous. You think I'm super skinny, and I kind of am, but I'm also capable of losing it. Like if I ate bad, I could eat bad the next day and the next day. And oh, it's been 2 weeks and you've had McDonald's 9 times.
That's how it starts.
That's who I am inside. So I got to be careful how I eat.
And speaking of fat people, there was a preacher, I think a pastor in like Brazil or something. If you haven't seen that viral video, he was apparently a part of his sermon is saying that fat girls can't get into heaven.
Rex Chapman put it out.
Yeah. And
block or charge.
And there was just a video of this guy up on stage in front of like thousands of people giving a sermon. And somebody, this girl comes up from behind him and shoves him off the stage. Everybody's like, what is going on here? And then come to find out a day later, he was apparently preaching that fat girls can't get into heaven. Like, all right, I must have missed that verse in the Bible. So good for her for knocking him over.
I think it's in the Old Testament.
Yeah, we missed that one in the Old Testament.
Don't eat pig and women that are fat. Don't get into heaven.
It slipped it right in there. I totally missed that one. Well, somebody else has been fasting, and that is, do we have this audio, Joe? Did we snag this? So the Open Championship is coming up this weekend. Phil Mickelson is a great follow on Instagram and Twitter because he puts out funny videos. He hasn't done one in a while. Here he is.
Hey, everyone. Let's get real for a few minutes. I haven't posted anything because I haven't felt good about myself and the way I've been playing, and so I haven't done anything or wanted to be in public. The last 10 days, I've done what I call a hard reset to change and try to make things better. I have lost 15 pounds. I've done a 6-day fast with water and a special coffee blend for wellness that I've been working on with Dave Phillips, and went on a bit of a retreat. I'm here in Ireland now, a beautiful place, getting ready for the British Open. I don't know if it's going to help me play better or not, but I'm willing to do whatever it takes to try to get my best back. I'll have more fireside chats and some funny things in the future, but for now, let's keep it real.
I love Phil Mickelson. That guy has gone from...
He's my A-Rod.
You just kind of look at him like a douche back in the day.
I did not like him 3 years ago.
Dropping bombs.
And now he does these videos. He's funny. He's personable. Look, it doesn't mean he's a different person. He can still be. Maybe he's a questionable human being anyway.
Sure, he's done some weird stuff.
But when you get in front of a camera and you're confident and you're good and you're kind of relatable, I'm willing to go, I like that guy. 6 days without eating?
He lost 15 pounds. That seems a bit aggressive, does it not? In 1 week?
First of all, that doesn't seem healthy, but maybe there's something to it that he figured out.
I'm sure, I guess.
That's a lot of weight in 10 days.
Yeah, to go 6 days and lose 15 pounds.
Sounds like he's struggling in the video. He's like, let's get real, people. Like, he's fighting passing out in the video.
Yeah, I don't know how you hit bombs, too, when you lose that much mass around the old wayside.
Look, we just read in the text machine. We don't know how much this is truth. Someone says 15 pounds in 1 week for fasting is dangerously low. Holy F, he will drop dead if he continues.
Yeah, somebody texted in, P1 Joe has chimed in on this. He said, every 3 or 4 months, I do a 7-day fast and regularly 3 days in a row each week. I do drink coffee and water while fasting.
What's the goal of that? Like, if you're a regular fast,
maintain body weight, I would assume. If you're working out, you're always trying to cut and shape your body how you want it. Just different reasons for different people.
I've heard like
intermittent fast.
Yeah, sure, that word. I've heard it's actually really good for you. And we talked about this when Cantor did it in the playoffs. And everybody kind of went, and now granted his performance did kind of fall off as the fast continued.
He was good in the first round.
He was. And he also had the shoulder injury, so I'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
I guess
there.
The fasting didn't start till the second round, huh?
Yeah, it came at some point in the playoffs. But yeah, that was the talking point out of it, that it can be really healthy for you. It just kind of refocuses you. It's good for the body to do it every now and then. I've never tried it, but I don't know how long I would be able to last.
Sounds like a bunch of hippie BS to me.
Hippie mumbo jumbo. I can't speak to what diet you should use if anybody's out there, right? I do know the wife and I did the keto thing.
You did, yeah.
And I still largely do keto. I'm not perfect on it because somebody was like, hey, how close to you to ketosis are you? And I go, what?
You're not like, in that state yet, Brandon?
That's what keto's short for. And I go, oh, I don't know. I'll look that up. And
that stuff is so aggressive, though.
It is aggressive. It's basically no carbs. No sugars, no carbs.
So you can't have, like, fruit?
Certain fruits you can.
Sure, but there's a lot of sugar in fruit.
Right. Like bananas? No.
Sure. No, off the list.
Now, I modified it. I'm like, hey, if it grows in the earth, I'm eating it. Right? Like, legit grows in the earth, I'm eating it. So I'm not perfect, but we did 1 week where we went completely keto everything. No bad fruit, no sugars, no carbs, just what you can eat. The wife lost like 7 pounds. I lost 5. That's why my shorts were big.
Your size 24 shorts are now...
Okay, no.
I was down to like an 18.
Never that small.
You're going to get like a size 6.
32 waist. I don't appreciate these comments.
Hey, P1 Joe chiming in. He's lost 52 pounds in the last year.
That's awesome.
His strategy went from 252 down to 200.
Is he fasting? Is that what he's saying?
Yeah, he's the one. He's the one that fasts a couple of days a week.
Fasting.
Somebody said, I started a 6-week diet last Monday, weighed myself today, lost 12 pounds. Not fasting, just eating better. That's awesome. Somebody said, fasting tricks the metabolism.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody said, Phil dropped an entire bra size.
Well, I guess that's my overall point, though, is not to like brag about a story that I did for a week. I ate great for a week.
Yeah, humble
no,
brag there.
It's more to say there are a lot of diets, I think, available where you still get to eat food you like versus drinking water and coffee for 6 straight days.
Right. There's a major difference.
You know, and I know 7 is not 15, but if you did it for 2 weeks, you've lost 14 pounds in 2 weeks doing a diet where you're still eating steak, foods like that.
Yeah.
Loaded salads, good breakfast.
Loaded salads. I do love me a good loaded salad. I'm with you on that. But yeah, this is unique. I'm curious to watch Phil. Like, he's always an attractable guy in a major championship. Like, you just keep your eye on, like, where's Phil at, and they'll update you, that kind of stuff. Losing that much weight leading into it, I think it's going to be really interesting to watch how it plays out for him.
But maybe he felt really fat, Dirt.
He probably did. Like, he did it for a reason. He said he wasn't feeling good. You know, he wasn't playing good golf, and he thought maybe losing a little bit of weight would help him. So that was the whole reasoning behind it.
I would say of all the things I've learned in exercise diet stuff, because I don't know anything, then this is kind of an obvious one, but you would be amazed your energy level if you just cut carbs for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Like, you can't completely cut out carbs, but don't eat a pasta meal and don't use bread and go 2 weeks doing it. That is the one thing that's been constant.
Oh, you'll drop. If you do that for 2 weeks without eating any of that, if you just eat regular the rest of the time, you'll lose 5 pounds easily.
And that's my point. And the energy you feel is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Not tired, not groggy. It's crazy how sugars and carbs just do it to you.
Yeah, that is interesting. If you got any other fasting stories, you can chime them in. 55305, that's a better you today. Text line. Phil Mickelson fasted for 6 days leading up to the Open Championship. That's coming up starting on Thursday.
Cody said, I did keto, but I couldn't give up beer. I didn't lose any weight.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Like, if you do keto, you can't drink beer, man.
Oh, get weed or drink hard alcohol. Nah. Those are your alternatives.
Like, for hard alcohol, doesn't it have to be like grain alcohol? Like, there's sugar in a lot of booze.
I'll have to look up what they were, but I remember we looked this up because I was like,
you gotta pound some moonshine on a Friday night.
Well, like, we had just bought Pelican, and the wife was like, well, this was bad timing.
Yeah, we gotta let this sit in the fridge for a while. We did not get to our meth gators, so I did want to ask that question as well. If I say meth gators, does that sound like a news story or an XFL team?
Or a sci-fi original movie.
That's a good one, too. We also, thanks to a listener, I'm going to shout him out next segment because this was awesome that he sent it to us. Somebody DM'd us. Bovada officially came out with odds for the alien rush. The Area 51 rush that we talked about on Friday.
Yes.
We have official Bovada odds on this thing. Okay, we're going to get to those coming up next. College football coming up, bottom of the hour. Over-unders in the Pac-12, as well as one random-ass team showing up in college football playoff odds. So that's coming up at 2:30. We have alien news and meth gators coming up next on The Fan.
This is a British Open Week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Presented by the Winco Foods Portland Open, August 5th through the 11th.
On 1080 The Fan.
A Goofy movie shout out. Welcome back in.
If they could get the real Goofy movie on Netflix so my kids could watch it instead of this Goofy movie 2 crap,
I'd
really appreciate it.
Yeah, get the OG Goofy movie. Come on.
Nobody watched the second one, just like nobody watched the second Sandlot.
I'm telling you, the internet, you can get that movie without having to go on Netflix.
Yeah, but you know what, Joe? I just don't want to do it.
Sometimes it's a lot of work to steal things.
Joe, you want to be real honest? I'm too old to try.
It's a lot to figure out, all right? Just watch number 2.
Easy.
Search Goofy Movie Full Movie on Google. Find it in less than 5 minutes.
That Disney app's coming out next month. We're getting it. It's $7 a month. I'll have all the access to any Disney movie ever.
That's a pretty good deal.
It's a great deal. And you get the Marvel, and you get the Star Wars.
Yeah, I'll probably be doing that, too.
P1 Sean said, Dirt, you need to talk crap about Crawford every game. He's on fire. Yeah, Brandon Crawford, who if you missed it earlier, I made fun of him for hitting 226. He has the first 8 RBI game for a Giant since 1961 today. Orlando Cepeda was the last one. 1961. We also have a position player on the mound where we did in Denver, which I love watching. That's awesome.
Well, and this one's funny too. Joe pulled this when you stepped out. One of the home runs that he hit in the second inning, here's his at bat.
Was that the swing? Is that what it sounded like?
That was
like?
A swing, yeah.
Yeah. He got into that one. Two cheeks into that one, baby. We were talking about diet, and a couple of P1 deals said, how about this? Try the Russian Orthodox fast.
Ooh.
We don't eat meat for 222 days a year.
Russian Orthodox. Let me look that up.
Yeah.
How long?
222 days of the year.
No meat?
For 222 days. For the 7 weeks leading up to Easter, we don't use oil Monday through Friday. I usually drop 20 pounds in that time.
Yeah.
Somebody said their dieting is eat breakfast like a carnivore, eat lunch like a vegetarian, and skip dinner. The first few weeks are brutal, but after that, it's incredible. No food after 2 p.m.
He can't eat eggs.
Yeah, that sucks, man.
That's brutal.
Let me say, I lost 25 pounds in like 2 months just cutting out soda. Yeah, it's pretty easy. You just cut one thing out like that, it can work. I also, where did this one go? Somebody said I was at 230 pounds at the beginning of the year, then my wife left me. Now I'm at 178. So shout out to you, man. That sucks to go through that, but
well, I hope
losing 50 pounds. My mouth good there? Yeah, 52 pounds.
I just hope you're ready for your diets when you get married.
Hey, we're on a diet right now. I've been dieting for like 3 weeks. Have you not noticed the increase in salads I've been eating for lunch?
No, I've noticed the salads, yeah. But I feel like you're still sneaking in a pesto pasta twice a week.
No, I haven't had pasta in a long time.
Good
and
for
it
you.
Sucks, it does man. Suck. It sucks.
When you diet right, you cut the weight, it's nice to reward yourself and just say, screw it, we're having a nice pasta dinner with bread.
Oh, my. When I have that blowout meal, like this thing's over and she's finally ready to let me go back to eating normal. Oh, you just wait, buddy. I'll send you a picture. All right. Let's get to...
You have your clothes on, right?
No,
I
will.
Weird.
I will. Farmer Fran.
This is me naked with pasta.
It's just me swimming in a bath of spaghetti.
Make it angel hair and it's all right.
You're good in my book. Shout out to P1 Ben for doing this, man. So he sent this to us on Twitter and I appreciate it. He said, here's a Sprague in the line for you. So we talked on Friday. If you miss it, there's this big rush of storming of Area 51 that's planned.
It's coming up.
For September 20th. That is the official date. But Bovada has odds on this. And whenever Bovada has odds on something, I mean, you're legit.
Sprague the line hard.
When you get Bovada odds, you're legit on this, okay? Let's see if this seems like a no-brainer. Now, it should be mentioned that a lot of the people on the storming of Area 51 kind of were just saying it as a joke, but as of Friday, and I didn't track it over the weekend, they were up over 450,000 people saying that they were going to do this. So just for a reference point, that's how many are claiming on September 20th they're going to do it. The over-under is set at 1.51 million.
I'm taking a fat under on that. My stipulation, or my stance, I should say, not stipulation, on this is, this was a joke. Like the company Supreme, that kids pay $150 for a t-shirt because it says Supreme on it.
Never
that
heard
was
of it.
Also started as a joke.
Never heard of that.
Oh, you've never heard of Supreme?
No.
Joe, have you heard of Supreme?
The brand?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dirt's never heard of it.
That does not surprise me one bit.
It just says Supreme on the front and people spend $120 on it?
Athletes wear it. Yeah, really? It's thousands of dollars.
Exclusive brand in New York and
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
No, hold on. It started as a joke and now it's like a legit...
Okay.
High-end brand. This is the same thing. This started as a joke, but then people picked it up. There's no chance 1.5 million people show up to this event. I'm taking a fat under on
so
that.
So the under is plus 200.
Even better. I'm winning money.
The over at 1.51 is minus 300.
Bet you people are going to show up and it's just going to turn into like a rave. People just
see,
drugged
that's
out
what
in the
I'm
desert.
Thinking.
Like,
that's the,
it's just going to be a fat party.
Right. It just turns into, and they don't actually end up rushing it, but they're just a lot of people for some reason. And the news cameras are there covering it. Like I could see something like that end up happening.
Hey, we just happened to got a DJ. Look at that. Yeah. And some lighting and a stage.
What if a couple employees at Area 51 caught wind of this? And in their off time, they don't say anything to anybody, but they sneak some alien ecstasy into the party.
Ooh.
You start seeing, like, galaxies and stuff. No, bro, I'm telling you, this drug was a trip.
The other ones you can bet on, the other prop bets on this are, will Trump tweet a warning to not raid Area 51 before September 20th?
What are the odds?
No is minus 510. So that's a heavy favorite. And yes is plus 305.
I'm taking yes because Trump doesn't do what you think he's going to do.
You'll see something on TV and then, yeah, fire off a tweet about it.
And then will Area 51 be raided in any way, shape, or form on September 20th? No is minus 350. Yes is plus 225.
Yeah, and on that one, you have to take the heavy favorite. This isn't going to happen.
Okay. Okay.
Not going to happen.
There you go. There's your official Bovada odds.
Did you read the Facebook description of the event?
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
Like, they're going to do a Naruto run, like the anime series. Like,
yeah, I never heard of that either.
Oh, yeah. It's quite a treat.
The whole thing. One more story to get to here before we get to some college football stuff coming up at the bottom of the hour. In Tennessee, they are now warning also in Alabama, that you could have what is called meth gators. You ever heard of a meth gator before?
Yeah, run into them all the time.
Scary stuff, man. This is scary stuff.
Boy, no wonder you're single.
Tennessee police arrested a man.
Where'd you meet her? Oh, that meth gator?
Yeah.
I met her at Bob's Tavern.
82nd.
You would totally meet a meth gator at a Bob's Tavern. So they were trying to arrest a man for meth, possession of meth and other drug paraphernalia. But as they broke into his house and were arresting him, he was apparently trying to flush dozens of grams of drugs down his toilet, something that police jokingly said could create meth gators. So this was in Tennessee. He was a drug dealer, and he had, let me find it, 12. He was arrested after police found 12 grams of meth, 24 fluid ounces of liquid meth, and several paraphernalia items in his house. He was apparently trying to flush them all down his toilet. They released a statement saying, "This, folks, please don't flush your drugs, okay? When you send," they actually put that in there, "okay? When you send something down the sewer pipe, it ends up in our retention ponds for processing before it is sent downstream. Now our sewer guys take great pride in releasing water that is cleaner than what is in the creek, but they are not really prepared for meth. Ducks, geese, and other fowl frequent our treatment ponds, and we shudder to think what overhyped meth would do. Furthermore, it made it far enough we could create meth gators in Shoal Creek in the Tennessee River down in North Alabama. They've had enough methed up animals the past few weeks without our help. So if you need to dispose of your drugs, please give us a call and we will make sure they are disposed of in the proper way."
If it didn't say meth and have a pipe on it, because I wouldn't want kids to see this T-shirt, I would buy this T-shirt. The Alabama meth gator T-shirt. Joe just retweeted it.
Okay.
It's pretty funny.
It's a good T-shirt.
But I'm around little kids all day, and they're like, "What's meth?" And "Oh, no."
Yeah. It looks like a minor league baseball team.
Totally.
Like,
this needs to be an XFL team or something, doesn't it? Like, somebody has to pick up in Alabama or Tennessee the name the Meth Gators.
I mean, you got to have an intimidating team name, right? That's kind of the idea. Right? I'm a Meth Gator. That's a little scary to
me. I'm on board with that.
This Meth Gator might be onto something, but he has nothing on the Chicago Gator, who they can't catch.
That's true. The Chicago Gator's still on the loose in the lagoon in Chicago.
They have a trapper. They keep going to the same trapper.
Yeah, he's too smart.
And the gator's not falling for any of the traps. He laid 7 of them on Friday, and he basically was quoted, "I don't know what to do. He keeps just swimming right by."
We got a smart gator in Chicago, and we got meth gators in Alabama. We'll see if any pro sports team wants to name themselves the Meth Gators.
Cody wants you to say paraphernalia again.
Paraphernalia. Did I say it weird? Do I say that word weird?
Okay, when you said it the first time, I even noted. I was like, that was different.
Paraphernalia.
Phenalia.
Phenalia. Phenalia. Phenalia. Yeah. Tomato, tomato.
Tomato, tomato.
I think so, yeah. Splitting hairs.
What do you want from me? All right, let's talk some college football, shall we? There are revised over-unders in the Pac-12, and we had a poll question. Which of the four Northwest teams are you most likely to bet the over? My bet's actually going to surprise you, I think. And I'll tell you what that is on the other side. Also, there are college football playoff odds out, and one team just sticks out like a sore thumb wondering, why are they there? We'll get to both of those next. First, here's Joe with SportsCenter.
This is a British Open Week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Presented by the Winco Foods Portland Open, August 5th through the 11th. This is how we do it.
This is a British Open Week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Presented by the Winco Foods Portland Open, August 5th through the 11th.
On 1080 The Fan.
Hey, little announcement coming up. Actually, I might save that for tomorrow. Yeah, I'm going to save it for tomorrow. An announcement on the show tomorrow.
Is it in regards to the show?
Yeah.
Did I say it earlier?
You did.
But I've already announced it.
If I throw it out, though, then it's going to require a lot of work for me at the end of the show. I don't want to do that. So I'm going to do it tomorrow, okay? We'll do it tomorrow. How's that sound?
Well, I'm curious what information you don't have that you need to gather.
Because once we start signing people up, I got to start writing down emails. Oh, it's a whole thing that goes into it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
By the way, fun question to ponder. What's the most terrifying animal to encounter when on meth? He went with hippo or raccoon. I think hippo. Maybe a bear.
Hippo's already pretty scary without meth.
You put them on meth, right?
Well, what does meth do to people? Does it make them more energetic? Lazy?
Think so, yeah. I think so.
Because all I've seen from meth in my personal experiences with family or people on the road is it messes your face up pretty bad. It
gives you little scars, yeah. I think it makes
you just
pick
at everything.
Crazy. A little crazy.
Hmm.
So I think you add crazy to an animal.
Yeah, it's definitely energy. It's staying up till like 3 a.m. cleaning the house or something like that.
Yeah.
What about Wolverine or a wolf?
Wolverine's not bad. Yeah, wolf. We got wolf problems in Oregon right now.
Wolves are big.
Yeah.
I don't think people realize how big wolves are until they see wolves. Because they're like, oh, I have a German Shepherd. That's wolf size. Wolves are like twice that size. They're huge.
Let me say my ex-girlfriend. So you can chime in on yours. What's the scariest animal to encounter when it's
Yeesh.
On meth? She sounds like a peach. Okay, I want to get to a couple college football things real quick. So this came out. Brett McMurphy tweeted this out last night. And I was like, wait a minute. What? So according to the Superbook USA, they came out with their odds. And then he just tweeted this out yesterday. Their odds to make the college football playoff. Okay, I mean, the teams, like, who's at the top? We all know who's at the top.
Yeah.
Alabama, Clemson,
yeah.
Georgia, Michigan, Ohio State, Oklahoma, yeah. LSU, yeah. Texas. Those are the top teams. Then, out of complete nowhere.
So, after the givens.
So, this team literally falls behind. These are the only teams ahead of it. Alabama, Clemson, Georgia, Michigan, Ohio State, Oklahoma, LSU, Texas. Okay?
So, 8 teams.
And this team is ranked ahead of Auburn, Florida, Oregon, Notre Dame, Utah, Washington, A&M, right? And then you get a bunch of randoms at 20-1.
Yeah.
Coming in at 6-1 odds to make the college football playoff in 2019 is the Nebraska Cornhuskers.
Do they know that's not going to happen? Or...
So here's what they got going for them.
They've got to be aware the 9th team to make the playoff is not, it shouldn't be Nebraska. They know that, right?
So they have South Alabama, Colorado, and Northern Illinois in non-conference.
You could tell me they lose to Colorado because, by the way, the game's in Colorado.
They miss Michigan.
Didn't Colorado beat them last year in Nebraska?
Yes.
That was a great game.
They did, yes. Adrian Martinez, to be fair, got hurt in that game, but they lost still. I mean, it was back and forth. Colorado ended up sucking at the end of the year.
Yeah.
But they got Martinez in year 2. I don't know. Maybe they just think fraud. So that's their non-conference. So those are winnable games. I don't know how good Colorado's going to be this year. They get Ohio State at home, so at least they don't have to go to Columbus. They get Wisconsin at home, and those are the only – they don't play Michigan in the Big Ten. So their schedule after that, they got at Illinois, Ohio State at home, home against Northwestern, at Minnesota, home against Indiana, at Purdue, home against Wisconsin, at Maryland, home against Iowa.
And they would play Michigan in the title game,
they're in
right?
the other bracket. Yeah. So they would play Michigan or Ohio State or whoever it would be.
I'm a big Scott Frost guy. I think he's going to win there.
Dude, 6-1 odds
That's
to make
insane.
It?
That's insanely stupid. And I don't know any Nebraska fan that realistically you can love your team as much as you want. You're not paying $100 at 6-1, right?
You are not putting any money on that. Maybe you think if they have like 20-1 odds and you're like, hey, we could be good. It's an easy schedule. I could see them flying under the radar. But at 6-1, that doesn't make any damn sense. They are in the weaker half of the Big Ten, so they'll likely play Ohio State or Michigan or Penn State, whoever comes out of the other half. They're not in that division. So they're with Northwestern, Purdue, Iowa, Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Illinois.
Yeah.
That is their division of the Big Ten. But I thought that was pretty damn interesting.
What from Martinez and Frost, what else do they have where we're going, I get it.
Yeah.
I don't even get it.
No, I think Nebraska could be, I'd have to look up what their over-under is in Vegas. Like, I do think this is going to be a big year for them. Like, I think you're going to see them take a step. If I had to pick a team to win that division of the Big Ten,
like, will they be better than Minnesota?
Yes. I mean, I would pick Nebraska to have an 8 or 9 win season this year. I think with the schedule and Martinez, if he stays healthy, that kid showed me enough last year as a true freshman. I think that was a smart play to groom him a little bit.
And, I do, too. I like that.
And they could have a good year this year. But it's a whole different conversation when you talk college football playoffs.
But when you're telling me, okay, so we may differ here. When you say you think Nebraska could win 9 games this season.
I think they could go 9-3 and win the division.
I suddenly don't think that's funny anymore to put them at 6-1. Because you're telling me you're
But it's a 3-loss team you're not going.
But you're 2 games away. Sure. You could be 2 plays away from conceivably going 11-1. And if you're 11-1 going into your title game,
well, true, but
there's
we
only
also
one game separating you, and you were in the Big Ten.
True, although you could be a 9-win Bo Pelini year where you beat everybody and then you lose by 50 to the 2 good teams you play.
And 3 of those 9 wins right. were against real
cupcakes,
incompetent teams.
Exactly. So Nebraska comes out of nowhere. They're 6-1. They have better odds than Auburn, Florida, Oregon, Notre Dame, Utah, Washington. Oregon, by the way, right now has, according to the Superbook, the best odds in the Pac-12 to make it at 8-1. Tied with Florida, Utah, and Washington are at 10-1. Washington State's at 20-1.
So not to change too much, but sticking with these competitors in college football playoff scenario. Sure. Did you see Lincoln Riley's recent comment?
I did. I was going to bring that up.
Okay.
Because Big 12 Media Day is going on right now.
We can save it for tomorrow if you want.
Yeah, I did. Sure, we might want to save that. But the comment, it's one of those like, is he just being a head coach or is he
No, I think he's being serious and I don't think we should be surprised by it.
Yeah, so he had something to say about Jalen Hurts. We'll get to that tomorrow because Big 12 Media Days is going on. Speaking of over-unders, though, too, I did want to get to this quickly. The updated ones in Vegas, a lot of them are similar, but I did see just the most recent numbers. And we had a poll question on this just for the Northwest teams. Oregon State's at 2.5. Oregon is at 8.5. Washington State is at 8. And then Stanford is at 9.5. Washington's at 9.5. If I were to ask you which over bet you were most likely to put money on, which one of those four would it be?
Say them one more time. I'm
so
sorry.
So Washington, 9.5. Yep. Oregon, 8.5. Washington State, 8. Oregon State, 2.5.
Man, I think Washington can win 10 games. Like, I think all of these teams can hit their overs, but if I was to actually lay money, I am willing to do it, and I don't care if you think I'm a homer now because I picked the under last year. I think OSU.
Now, this might surprise you, but that was my bet as well.
No, like it doesn't surprise you because I think we're thinking the same thing. Like,
dude, you have Hawaii and Cal Poly in non-conference.
Those should be 2 wins, and I don't even care that you have to travel to Hawaii. Those should be 2 wins.
And then I think you're competitive enough to get one random game like you had Colorado last year to go 3-9 this year.
That's a pretty low
bar. Now, granted, I think we did like the over last year, as you mentioned, but Cal Poly at home
I did the under last year.
Did you take the under?
Because it was 2.5.
It was the same thing last year.
And I didn't see 3 wins on their schedule. I went back and forth with a listener who bet, like he said he bet $3,000 on the over. And then they didn't hit it. They came close, but they didn't get it.
The one that comes next to me would be Washington because of their non-conference. Because you don't play anybody
three
in non-conference,
gibbons.
You got 3 gimmies right there. And you just have to go, 7-2 in Pac-12 play.
I think they could do that.
And you can have a 10-2 kind of season. So Oregon State, their road games this year.
Here we go.
They're at Hawaii, at UCLA, at Cal, at Arizona, at Washington State, and at Oregon. And then at home, they get Oklahoma State, Stanford, Cal Poly, Utah.
That schedule actually.
Washington and ASU.
That schedule's kind of brutal. And now I know why they have like the 9th hardest schedule in college football. Arizona State coming to town.
That's
November 16th.
That's a winnable game.
We know how ASU can be. Yeah. And in fact, Oregon State did this like 5 years ago. ASU came to town as the 14th ranked team. They played a 7:30 November game and Oregon State
won. Just no-showed. Arizona State just no-showed.
Yeah. Well, and the Gage kid at Washington State, look, I know some Cougar fans think we lowball the Cougars here. I think they're just going to have a year where they win like 6 games. They're just not that great, but they're good enough to get to a bowl. If this Gage kid can continue to do what every quarterback has done lately, maybe Washington State at 8 is really not a bad bet.
They easily topped it last year. Last year, they were, 6.5? I mean, Vegas, everybody counted them out last year, and they shocked the world.
What does the number get for you as a Duck fan before you finally start getting pissed about Oregon and Washington State type stuff? Like, if they win this
year. This year would be
it'd be 5 in a row, right?
This year would, that would stick in my, a little bit. that would be it. Because you're back at home.
Yeah.
Now, injuries, you got to take that out. Like, if Herbert's not playing.
But if they weren't injured and they still lost.
You're healthy, you're at home, and you lose that game. Yeah, I'm with you there after four in a row. So, there's some over-unders. And Oregon's number is unique because it's right on that breaking point for me. It's like that with the difficult schedule, 8.5 to go 9. I would probably bet the over as of now because I think I'm going to pick them to go 9-3 this year. But that's right. It was similar to their line last year. Where you just look at it, you're like, God, that is the breaking point for their season.
I believe Bama's is 11.5, right?
Yes.
I would take the under.
And they play nobody outside of their Auburn and LSU games.
I think they're losing a game.
Yeah. Yeah, because conference title game doesn't count.
No, it doesn't. It's just a regular season game.
Just a regular season. So there you go. A little college football talk for you. We've got poll questions on that. We'll answer them on the other side. Also, a really crazy scheduling note, and I'm glad you brought up Alabama because I wanted to bring that up, from Bill Connolly. That blew my mind. So I'm going to get to that, answer the poll questions. We'll do it next on The Fam.
This is a British Open Week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Presented by the Winco Foods Portland Open, August 5th through the 11th.
On 1080 The Fan.
Our P1's chimed in. College football talk makes my heart happy. Yeah, me too, man. Feels good to talk about.
We're going
to
get more and more as we get closer and closer. I think Isaac and Suk head down there in 9 days.
Right.
They're going to be down there in 9 days.
Whew, that's right around the corner. We had a Cornhusker alum text in. Nebraska has no chance in hell of making the playoff next year. They still have Mike Riley players.
Yeah.
Another one is Vegas is trying to make money off of Husker fans. Somebody said Oregon is the bet that they would make. And then Oregon easily, another texter, Oregon State's not going to win 3 games. So differing opinions there.
I think to your Nebraska point, man, if they can win 9 games.
Dude, that's a huge step in the right direction. And Martinez would be coming back for his junior year. Then you have that conversation.
They'd probably be top five in favorites to do it. If they can win 9 this year as a sophomore with Martinez, second year under Frost.
More depth.
Yeah. Yeah, at that point, I think people would be legitimate. But right now, no way.
I did see this. So Bill Connolly, he's a friend of the show. He works for ESPN now. He's a great college football writer. He had this note. And it just, whenever you get a chance to make fun of Alabama, you like to take the opportunity. And you run with it a little bit. Well, Oregon is starting with Auburn. And he had a note in one of his articles just about Auburn and what they've been through. So in the Gus Malzahn era at Auburn, his teams have played 20 top 10 teams.
Mm-hmm.
20. That averages out to about nearly 3.5 per season that Auburn will play. Just to put that in perspective, Alabama during that span has only played 21 games against top 10 teams, so 21 to Auburn's 20. 9 of those have come in the college football playoff.
So they play nobody until it matters.
So they play them. And granted, they beat them. So, I mean, whatever. You give them the benefit of the doubt there.
Sure, but they have no hard games.
But it tells you, right? Isn't that ridiculous? Like, this is the ridiculous part about scheduling in college football. So 21 times they've played the top 10 team. 9 of those have been the college football playoff. You take that away, that's only 12 games. So those kind of stats blow my mind when you get them. And you do give credit to a program like Auburn for the way that they schedule. Like Washington, now granted, people are coming into their backyard to play, and I'll argue that as an Oregon fan. Oregon's going into their territory, even though it's Texas, to play because it's going to be basically a home game for them. And last year was in Atlanta, so it was even more aggressive for their fan base than it was just outnumbering Washington fan. But they're scheduling games like that, and I appreciate Auburn for doing it.
You know, we can appreciate it, but what has it gotten them?
It hasn't gotten him anything.
Gus Malzahn, it's gotten him nothing. He can lose his job this year if they underperform. They're right back at a reset. They're losing a lot of money on the buyout because if you fire him, I think you owe him something obscene like $6.5 or $8 million.
Yeah, he's got a crazy one.
And look, I don't mean to say that to say your opinion's dumb. I'm 1,000% with you.
No, I agree with you.
I love teams that play great teams, you know. Bowlesby today at the Big 12 Media Day, and we're going to have more on that tomorrow, but Bowlesby, I saw one quote that said he wishes they would play 10 games against Power 5 teams. Not 8, not 9. He wants 10 games every year from everybody in the Power 5 to play Power 5 opponents. I would love that every day of the year. The reality is the system will not allow this. And until people
begin...
You have
to force it if you want it to happen.
Right, until people realize it and wake up and smell the friggin' salt, they need to be scheduling like Bama.
Yeah.
You need to pray for 8-game conference schedule, which Pac-12 doesn't seem to want to do for a while. And you need to play nothing but patsies.
Right.
And when you sprinkle it in with the good teams, because this is what Bama's really good at. They'll schedule a hard game, but 7 years from now. Hey, Louisville,
Let's play.
We'll play. Yeah. We'll play you. We know how good you are. We'll play you.
When? We got Lamar Jackson right now. You're good.
When will we? When you want to play? We got Lamar next year coming back. Oh, we'll play you 5 years from now. Okay, great. And then they play him and they beat him like 55 to nothing.
Yeah, it looks good on paper when you initially schedule it, then it's nothing. I would love to get to a point. I know we talked about this recently. I would love to get to the point where 9-3 is a respectable record in college football. Like when you go 9-3, you're like, damn, those guys had a good season this year. Much like you do in the NFL. You get a team that goes 12-4, what do you say? Whew. Division champs, that's a good season. 13-3, wow. 14-2, it's a good year.
Yep.
I would love to get to that point in college football.
14-2, you're right, in the record books of one of the few
teams of all time.
That, yeah.
And a prime example of not being worth it scheduling is Washington. Like Washington, the year that they went to the playoff, they played nobody. And that was the cupcake year on ESPN, remember, a non-conference. They lost the tough game at home to USC, and USC was really good that year.
Mm-hmm.
And then they ended up winning the Pac-12 championship. They made the college football playoff. Like, look at Washington last year for an example. They lost a toss-up game to Auburn, which they just ended up getting killed for because Auburn, what, went 7-5 or 8-4 last year. They didn't end up living up to the hype. So you lose a close game to a team who, by the end of the year, isn't as respected as they were at the beginning of the year. And let's say you take out the Cal game. Let's say you don't bench Browning and you beat Cal 13-10, whatever the final would have been.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you would have replaced that Auburn game with a cupcake and your only loss on the year was an overtime loss to Oregon, you're in contention to go to the playoff.
Yep. And nobody's batting an eye. They're like, well, look at the record.
Wow, look at that. They're 11-1 this year. They won the Pac-12 title. They were 12-1. So I'm with you completely. And a stat like that really, really points it out. But the perception's there for Alabama. They can get away with whatever the hell they want. Doesn't matter who they play.
Did you think they got all four right last year? Notre Dame, Oklahoma, Bama, and Clemson?
Yes.
Because I think in the moment I did too.
Yes. Because I think I did.
Notre Dame, to me, it's a very controversial, polarizing type team, but I just always feel their schedule's hard enough.
They were undefeated, though.
Were they?
I think so. I'm pretty sure they went 12-0.
Well, but I feel Notre Dame does the scheduling right.
Yeah.
Even though they're an independent, and I hate that they won't just go to the ACC already, I think that they do schedule it the right way. They give themselves like 3, maybe 4 good games a year, some patsies, and then some easy
wins. Yeah, I mean, they had
wins.
USC. Yeah, I mean, they play a portion of the ACC schedule, although half the ACC is just warmed over garbage. So.
Yeah, I know, but that's kind of out of their control.
Right,
though,
it is.
You know?
At least they partially joined a conference. I'm with you. Yeah, they were 12-0. The only game they lost last year was to Clemson in the college football playoff.
Well, and on the ACC note, I know we don't have the time for it, but the ACC note is something we need to talk about tomorrow.
Yeah, we're going to get to that because there's details coming out about their network with ESPN that needs to be talked about. Interesting comments on Jalen Hurts. We'll get to that tomorrow as well at Oklahoma and Big 12 Media Day. Quick run through the poll questions. You taking the over under the Blazers, 44.5. 92% of you are taking the over, so they get to 45 wins. Which team in the Northwest is most likely to hit their over? 44% going with Oregon State. 2.5, so they got to get to 3 wins. What's the longest you're willing to sit and watch a sporting event? 47% said 4 hours. And then, if healthy, are there 6 good quarterbacks better than Aaron Rodgers in the NFL? 79% of you say no. There you go. Poll questions every day at Turton Sprague and at 1080 The Fam. We will talk to you tomorrow at noon. Thank you for being a part of our Monday.
What's up, Tim Taylor?
Tim Taylor's just wandering into the studio, hanging out with a V-neck. We'll talk to you tomorrow at noon. Number one's next, listening to 1080 The Fam.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.